Yes? As I adjust my things here. You know, earlier this morning as I was putting this on, I thought how much fun it would be if you were a kid to have one of these things with a couple of booming speakers. Would that not rock? I've got an older brother, Mike, great guy. Growing up, shared a bedroom. He loved to play tricks on me. He'd tell me like a ghost story before I went to bed. Then like at 2 a.m., he'd crawl under my bed, start making sounds, and start lifting my mattress. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could get this earpiece, a couple of booming speakers, slip them under his bed late at night? Mike, I'm coming to get you. Oh, hey, that's just how my mind works, folks. You're just going to have to deal with it this morning. If I could ask a huge favor of my lovely bride back there, a cup of water is sitting there right up behind you. If you wouldn't mind, honey, running and bringing that up, I'd really appreciate that. So, yeah, so we're continuing in our series, really a huge part of our vision and what we're doing. Oh, thank you very much, beautiful wife. Hubba hubba, yes. Thank you very much. We're continuing our series, The Kingdom of God, and a big part of our vision. We have just amazing, exciting things going on at Adventure, and being here at Adventure for, I don't know, close to 6, maybe going on 7 years for us, I can't think of a more exciting time to be part of the mission of Adventure than right now. It's an awesome time, lots of opportunity, some challenges. We're going to take a look at both today, and I'm really excited to bring it. First of all, how's everyone doing today, this morning? Awesome. That was really lame. Let's try again. How's everyone doing this morning?
Great.
Much better, because I heard second service is 30% more faithful than first service. So, okay, I made that up. It's 40%. But of course, I told first service the same thing, so... That's what you get. Yeah, so navigating the rapids, a little bit about me, a little bit about my background. Randy shared a little bit. I've been in the parks and recreation profession for close to 25 years. It's been great. God's really blessed me with a great job and a great profession. And when I was younger, when I was growing up, you know, getting those first few jobs as young as, you know, 15, 16 years old, I always gravitated towards jobs that were, you know, sports or recreation related. It's just... I played sports as a kid, you know, baseball and tennis and all that. I really enjoyed it. And the jobs I had growing up in high school, even into college, were all either recreation or sports based. And in high school, I worked for local parks department where, you know, dragging the ball fields and, you know, spraying down the fields so people could play softball. I taught tennis and pretty much whatever it did to start putting some money away for college. Another job I had in high school, one of the most interesting jobs I've ever had, ever, is I worked for a local bowling alley in Moses Lake. Two parts of my job. I was taught on how to fix those machines. You guys have been bowling, and sometimes the machines don't operate. So you want to be terrified? Climb under one of those machines to fix it while a bunch of people on Friday night who are drinking are throwing bowling balls near your direction. So that'll strike fear in your life. The other part of what I did is I was a pin dipper. Back in the day, probably this is going on over 30 years ago, you know, the pins that are really shiny that you know throw your ball out and try and knock them over, well, they don't get shiny on their own. They don't stay shiny. You gotta keep them with a certain lacquer. You got to keep them shining. So my job in this little building behind the main bowling alley, no ventilation, about an 8x10 room. They had all this lacquer. It was thick. It was gooey. It was mostly black and white and everything else, and it smelled horrible. I had to go in there and literally dip the pins in, set them somewhere for them to dry. Now, I know I lost brain cells having done that job, so... And from time to time, being married 27 years, I use that excuse with my wife. Look, honey, I messed up. I lost brain cells because we had a job in high school. She's like, yeah, right, just get her done. So when it was time to go to college, I thought, gosh, I love sports. I like activity. I like recreation. So I literally, this is very true, I went to the freshman college at Eastern. I go, I'm flipping through the catalog. I want to find a future career where I could wear shorts and sweats all the time. And then... I found it under the R, recreation. You get a major in recreation. I can wear sweats. I could wear shorts all day long. I thought I was pretty smart. My mom raised ugly kids, not stupid ones. Athletes, that's what my dad said. So I thought, I'll major in recreation. And you know, now, ironically, I don't get to wear shorts and T-shirts and all that. It's much more dressier than that. But I've been very blessed with a great profession. One of the things I did in college as a track that I took was on outdoor recreation, which was whitewater rafting, whitewater canoeing, and kayaking. And it was a kick. I was well on my way at the time to being a certified instructor and leader on whitewater. So we went through a lot, did a lot of preparation for that, a lot of things that went into that, and it was fun, very challenging, at times incredibly scary. More about that later. But it was just a great opportunity, and the last thing that we did as part of, for this course I took, is we did a four-day trip, kind of our culminating project, and we went down to the Grand Ronde River in Oregon, spent 4 days, glorious days, it was mostly a lot of fun, on Stillwater, or lake, on lake, and in rivers, and actually dragging our gear through streams. Employing the different techniques that we learned along the way. And it was over 4 days. It was fun. We had to backpack everything in, carry everything. And it was just a great time. Very challenging. A lot of training went into that. And a lot of fun. I have some great memories about that. And here are just some facts about whitewater rafting, is that it's very popular, incredibly popular. Thousands of people participate in that sport on a regular basis. How many of you have been on white water in some capacity? So hopefully up, not upright, right, not underneath. Yes, it's fun. Those of you who have done it really should. A lot of local opportunities. There's a Skykomish. I mean, up near our house, Skykomish River is like class 4 rapids, which are butt-kicking cool, if I can say that. Really cool, very dangerous, but fun. The Nisqually, the Skagit Rivers. We have a ton of rivers around here, all various forms of whitewater experience you could have, be it in a canoe, kayak, or in a raft. However, the serious side of it, it can be deadly without the proper navigation. It can be incredibly dangerous if you don't have the right navigation, the right training, the right leadership, and you're not working together as a team. Absolutely critical. It can lead to death because there are deaths every single year. Most of the deaths that are a result of whitewater activity is a result of improper training or no training or poor leadership, or people not following the recommended rules of the road, really the rules of the river. Someone I know from Everett, city council member, Drew. He is owned a business in Everett, but he was an expert. He had rafted, led trips about every major, the top major rivers actually around the world. He was an expert. This last year, just a slight little mistake, just an accident, paid for with his life. Boat went up against the rocks, tipped his boat, and he drowned. It can be an absolutely fun and fascinating and great thing, but it's also, it can be just a little serious and dangerous. And I just thought the training that I got and learning about being on the white water and the things that Dr. Jim, as we called him, he was our professor, he was our expert at the university, the things that Dr. Jim taught us, a number of the things I've kind of carried over and kind of helped me. And I think are really applicable too, at least from my perspective, where we are at adventure as we're looking to move and partner, collaborate with God in bringing his kingdom to the greater Duval area. So there's a number of things. We're going to go through them today. So everyone put on your seatbelt. We're going to rock and roll, and we're going to get going. Here's just an overview of what I want to cover this morning is the importance of speaking a common language. That's important. Number two, relying on our training. Very important. Number three, recognizing that we're all part of a team. We have different roles to play, different things, different gifts that we have, different things that God has given us, and how we all come together to work as a team. And it's obviously essential when you're out on the white water. And then next, understanding and acknowledging that dangers lurk everywhere. More about that in just a moment. And then lastly, I think, celebrate the successes when you experience them. We need to celebrate the successes when you're experiencing them. And I'll cover what I mean about that in just a little bit. So the first one I want to talk about is number one there, speaking a common language. There it is. I really want to do is make sure we're on the same page definition-wise. I want to just kind of give a backdrop on what the kingdom of God may mean, a few things from Scripture, and kind of give you at least Jeff's perspective on it this morning as we try and to unpack it just a little bit more. So what does the kingdom of God or kingdom in heaven mean? Well, first of all, the kingdom of God is actually mentioned 69 times in the Bible, and the kingdom of heaven is mentioned 32 times. Now, most scholars seem to equate those two things as being the same. There are some differences of opinions, but generally I think we can say it's similar. And then actually what's also in the Bible is the rule of God, his rule. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and then again in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. And on this session, the kingdom of God, it's interesting, and just in my research, it's referred to in Scripture as both a future and present event. So both a future thing and a present event, as seen in these verses. Luke 22:18, "For I say unto you, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come," which indicates at the time saying this, it's down the road, right? Future event. Yet, Jesus said in Luke 17:21 that, quote, "The kingdom of God is within you." So it's very present. It's both a future thing and it's very present. Very fascinating, I found that. I just worked up this general definition. Just, it works for me. It may work for you, just on what the kingdom of God may be. The kingdom of God may refer to God's rule, power, and sovereignty as a king. We are his family, heirs with Christ in the kingdom, to the kingdom, and present citizens of heaven. We are strangers and pilgrims passing through this temporal life. We're an adventurer on this journey to collaborate with God and to bring it to our community in any way God leads. That worked for me. Hopefully it worked for you. I thought it was illustrated incredibly powerfully just a couple of weeks ago. I don't have a lot of the details, but Sky took the junior high kids downtown, did you not? And you did something. Would you mind, I'm putting you very much on the spot, would you mind sharing what you did, just on what you and the team did on Tuesday night, you and the kids?
Absolutely. We could pray for their business, and we did, and it was neat, and the opportunity to just witness to that group of people there.
So. Can you think of a better example of what it means to bring the kingdom of God than what these guys did on junior hires on Tuesday? To me, anyway. I mean, that speaks volumes about what we're about, what we want to be more about. Thank you for letting me put you on the spot with that. That's just a great example of what bringing the kingdom of God. So some definitions, a little bit of backdrop, and then just a perfect illustration. You probably rocked that person's world. I'm sure you probably blew them away and way more impactful than any of us will probably understand, and maybe we'll find out down the road. So way to go to you and the junior hire, Sky. So once we're speaking a common language, hello. Once we're speaking a common language, we need to, at least in my view, rely on our training as we navigate the rapids. I mean, when we're out in the whitewater, it's the training that we rely on to get us through whatever situation or experience we have. So as, isn't that a cool picture? Man, I want to be on that so bad. That's not me. I wish it was. What we want to do for whitewater leaders, the training includes practicing scenarios out on the river. We'd go back, we'd raft or shoot a particular rapid, whether canoe, kayak, or raft, and then go back, pull out, and then go do it again until we had it down. So we did a lot of practicing scenarios. We were in swimming pools, a very controlled environment, practiced rolling, flips, and had a proper ways to take care of that, and some ways you don't want to take care of that. The ways to get in and out of the water once you have an event. And then reading, not only reading material, but reading the water. Part of what we did is that before we even went down the river, we'd actually walk the river along the river to whatever degree we possible, picking out different points along the river that might be opportunities, it might be challenges. So reading texts and reading the river became incredibly important. We spent a lot of time just on preparation, dedicated a lot of time on preparation, making sure we had everything in place that we needed to. Took refresher courses, which provided a great foundation for everyone that we hope would participate with us. So what about us? What is some of that training that I think we ought to do? One of the things I'd just submit to you is part of that training or retraining or continue to wiring our brain around God is remembering who we are. Who we are to God, I think, is a critical component as we collaborate with God to ushering in his kingdom in this greater community. At least it's important to me. It's something that God, I feel like, impressed on my heart, and I want to share with you today. So I'm going to share some scripture from Hosea, and then we're going to break it down, and we're going to make it a little bit interactive and personal. Don't get too nervous. It's going to be okay. Trust me. So here we go from Hosea. I'm going to read it all the way through, and then you're going to help me with it. Here we go. Israel, how could I give up on you? This is God talking to his children. My heart turns against it. When Israel was a child, I loved him. I myself taught him to walk. I took him in my arms. Yet he has not understood that I was the one looking after him. I led him with reins of kindness, with leading strings of love. I love that. I was like someone who lifts an infant close against his cheek, stooping down to give him his food. How could I treat you like Abda or like Zeboam? My heart recoils from it. My whole being trembles at the thought. I will not give rein to my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, for I am God, not man. I am the Holy One in your midst, and no wish to destroy. Now, those two earlier names that I butchered, that passage right there, those are actually two smaller towns, from what I understand, that were wiped out along with Sodom and Gomorrah. So I'm glad we're not them. That's good. So here's how we're going to do this. God's talking to the nation of Israel there, but Israel really are his children. We are his children. If you're in a relationship with Christ, you are part of the family. And I want to take a time, and something I've done this, I pull this out from time to time, and really personalize it. So here's how we're going to do that. I took the word Israel, or the pronoun that he uses, and put a blank. What I want you to do, when we get to that blank, I want you to speak out your own first name. I think you can handle it. We need to practice, okay? This looks like a really sharp crowd, but you never know. So on the count of three, I want everyone to say out loud your own name. One, two, three. That was pretty good. Good job. So now, some of you might need some help with this. I don't know if Jerry's in the room. Cindy might want to help Jerry with this. I'm not sure. You know, Jerry's a Coug. So, by the way, I have a Coug joke. So do you know why Coug fans don't drink Kool-Aid? Because they can't figure out how to get 2 quarts of water inside that tiny little package. Now, that was at Jerry's expense. I'm looking at Stephanie and Cindy, Cougs. That was for your old man and your husband, not for you guys, okay? So what I want to do is that first blank, you just say out your name. I'm going to read through it. You can read the whole thing with me if you want, but your role is to say your own name whenever you see a blank, okay? There won't be a test on it. I teach high schoolers, but it might be a test. Not going to be a test for you, but let's say it out loud. What I want you to do is to own this, to understand that God's speaking to you and me directly. So are we ready? We're ready to do it. Okay, so the first word. How could I give you up? My heart turns against it. When? Was a child, I loved him. I myself taught to walk. I took in my arms, yet has not understood that I was the one looking after. I led. You guys are good. With reins of kindness, with leading strings of love. I was like someone who lifts an infant close against his cheek, stooping down to, I gave him his or her food. How could I treat like Abda or deal with like Zeboim? My heart recoils from it. My whole being trembles at the thought. I will not give rein to my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, for I am God, not man. I am the Holy One in midst, and do not wish to destroy. Pull that out. Put on your reading time sometime in Hosea, and where it says Israel, just put your own name in there and understand God pulls you close. He loves you. He's the one who nourishes, give you food, give you protection. He loves you that much. So once we speak a common language, number one, and then two, rely on our training to remember who we really are, I think a third important component, at least to me, would be to understand our place in the team and work together. I can tell you it's absolutely critical when you're out on the whitewater to be working as a team. You have a team leader, typically, on board, and everyone has a different role based upon the situation you're encountering. So this is a time to paddle, a time not to paddle. There's a time for one side of the boat to paddle, a time for not the other. And there's different roles and things that need to go on cohesively in an organized fashion to have a successful trip. So I think it's very much like that with the church body well. And I just love how the verses in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how as a body we should be operating and moving together. And I'll read it. You can easily enough, this is from the message, you can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same way with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all say goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life. I like that, I like how it says that. A large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. It goes on. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we can all come to drink. The old labels we used to identify ourselves, such as Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, something more comprehensive. We're all part of one body. We all have a role to play. It's absolutely critical that we understand that and employ those gifts God gives us in the way he's designed it so we can move in to bring the kingdom of God to our community. So let me ask you a question. Where is your place on the team at Adventure? Where can you get plugged in at? See, there's lots of places to get plugged in at Adventure as we collaborate with God and bring his kingdom to our community. So you may be thinking, gosh, I'm not sure where I can get plugged in. I tell you, there's a lot of needs here at Adventure. You've already probably heard just from some of them, you know, either with children's, and if you want to get on the red carpet team and welcoming people, talk to Mike Peterson or myself, a way just to greet people. Lots of different ways to get plugged in. If you're not sure, you'd like to get plugged in, and you're just not sure, and you want to have some questions about that, about getting involved, just take a communication card out of your bulletin, fill it out, and say, I'd like to talk to someone about getting more involved. You know, we're not going to make anyone commit their left kidney or anything like that. We'll certainly have a conversation with you and see what makes sense to get you involved. So that's number three, your place on the team. Number four, important consideration as we're moving forward, it certainly is out on the white water, is that dangers lurk everywhere. They really, really do. Out on the water, there's things such as Eddie, Boils, and Bars. Now, that's not a really bad name for a rock band from the 60s. That's actually different things that we identify on the water. Some of those things can be really good at times, and some of them could be really, really hazardous. An eddy, it's a place, that's an eddy. You're looking at an eddy on that picture right there. It's where the water moves around a large object on the river, and the water kind of comes back at itself, and it's somewhat still. Now, that can be a place of rest, or it could be a place where you end up, you completely lose your momentum. So a two-edged sword with that. Boils are simply a place where there's a large object like a rock just below the surface of the water of the river, and the water looks like it's boiling over that place. That can be a dangerous place to be. You got to be careful with that. And a bar is like a sandbar. Again, a place to rest or a place to get high centered on. So it's the dangers on the water exist. You have to navigate them carefully. You have to foresee them. If you don't experience them now, they may be something down the road that you may be contending with. And I think that's true for us at Adventure, as I look at it. I think there's some dangers for us at Adventure. Because remember, we have an enemy that is dead set against what we're doing as a mission here, just with what we're doing, and certainly against what God wants to work through us in the greater community. The enemy wants to take us out. He is a roaring lion after about devouring us. So we need to be careful. I think one of the things that I really feel like that we need to address is getting off the danger of getting off our collective game with respect to giving, and I'm talking about tithing. And if you're a visitor or you're just kicking the tires of the Christian faith or kicking the tires of Adventure and you do not consider Adventure your church home, you can take a two-minute nap now because this part of the message is not for you. But if you consider yourself a member of Adventure or you've got your roots here or you consider this your home church, then this message is for you, regardless of your age, tithing is for all of us if you consider your church home. A couple of things I want to say up front as moving into this. I just want to say that you know, I am not on staff here at Adventure. I don't get paid a dime for anything I do as an elder. I'm a civilian like the rest of you. Okay, I'm not on paid staff. So the things that I'm bringing regarding this subject and the following one, which might be even a little bit more dicier, it's just I'm one of you, and I'm just sharing with you as just another member of your congregation who happens to have the microphone today. So we need to be careful about getting off our collective game with respect to giving. It's critically important. A little bit for maybe some of you, not sure what the whole tithing thing is. What does that mean? What's that about? Here's a short little primer on it. I would say that tithing literally means 10%. Well, why tithe? What's the big deal? Well, God tells us to. The book of Malachi, which is in the Old Testament, he says this: bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there'll be no room to store it. Wow. It's the only place you'll find where God says, test me. He doesn't say he wants to test us to trip us up or trip himself up, but the fact is he really wants to bless us because that's his heart for us. And if we just give that 10% as he calls us to do, he wants to add even more blessing to our life. Why tithe? So, well, commanded by God not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. We see Jesus, he said it, yes, you should tithe in Matthew 23:23. So ACC members have been incredibly faithful in giving, especially when called upon. And I'll stay right there. So many of you have been incredibly faithful with your giving, especially when there's an opportunity presents itself or we need some extra giving. So many of you have been so faithful. I just want to say thank you. I know from Randy's heart too, thank you very much. However, there's a challenge. Now, I got a couple of difficult things I need to share with you, and so I put some tomatoes. So if there's some tomatoes you want to throw at me, you're going to have to come get them. But that's the tithing. The difficult things, that's the tomatoes. The difficult thing I want to share is that tithing, God says, this isn't for me, thank goodness, this isn't for me, from Randy, or the leadership. It's what God says. It's 10%. On average at Adventure, it's about 4.5% members give. About 4.5%. And not all of our membership is even doing that. So in talking with Randy in the past about this, I love his heart towards this because I think it's very gracious and I think it's God's heart. So if any of you or any of us are at 4.5%, 5%, maybe next month, let's kick it up to 5%. The following month, let's make it 6%. Let's get ourselves up to 10%. I dare you. I double dog dare you. And see that God will bless you along the way and keep track of the way God's blessed you because he's promised it. He says, test me. The rest of that verse in Malachi talks about the way God wants to bless you. It's just amazing. That's his heart towards us. He wants to bless us. He also wants us to be obedient in the things he calls us to do. So I don't see any tomatoes. That's good. A way to illustrate it is, there's a plate of French fries. I love French fries with tartar sauce at Red Robin, but I'm just saying that. This happened a number of years ago when one of my little kids were really little. Now, my kids argue which kid it was, but it doesn't really matter. It was either Matthew and Andrea, and I think it's probably Matthew. Nonetheless, we're at McDonald's. I'm buying some French fries, and he has them in front of him. So who just bought him some French fries? Oh, good old dad took out the wallet, bought some French fries. What did I do? I just wanted one of his French fries. What do you think happened? Did that go over well with Matthew or Andy? Neither one are here, so I can tell them both of them. Dad, what are you doing? Those are my fries. Excuse me? 30 seconds ago, you didn't have any fries. And you know what, kid? You know what, kid? If I wanted to, I could buy so many French fries, I could bury you where you sit in French fries. I could whip out that debit card faster than you could say, that's my fry, and bury you in French fries. I gave him fries. I just wanted a little bit back. You know what? God is the same way with our giving and tithing. He owns it all. He already has it all. Out of obedience and another way to bless us, he wants 10% back. It's challenging. We've been there. But that's what he's called us to do. And I firmly believe right now at Adventure, collectively, and again, I'm one of you, we need to kick it up. We need to look at what's at stake in bringing the kingdom of God to the greater Duval. There's a lot at stake. It's a tremendous opportunity, but we cannot keep our eye off the ball, and this is in one of those areas. Last week, our giving was, I think, or the week before, really, really down. You need to have a conversation with yourself, with God, with your spouse. You know, is a chance to kick the... If you're at 10%, awesome. Doesn't cap at 10%. Maybe God's calling you to tithe beyond that. Take it to God. I will just say, it's absolutely critical we follow God's directives in giving as we further navigate our journey in this. It is central to our mission. It is a boil on the river down the road we don't want to get hung up on. We want to recognize it now for what it is, a challenge, and we need to address it and position ourselves on the river, on our journey, accordingly, so we do what God would have for us. Another danger, in my view, to navigate is at what I'm calling a couple of things, majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. Now, I don't see it a lot here, a little bit. I've seen it at some other church experiences I've had. And what I mean by that is sometimes, and I found myself in the very same position, spending a lot of time dealing with the deep theological issues of the day, some of which have no absolute, complete knowledge of this side of eternity or this side of heaven, but yet we can get really hung up on majoring on the minor things, majoring on the major things when we should be thinking about the easier things. And what do I mean by that? Like, we know very clearly in Scripture, a major thing would be helping the poor, right? The Great Commission, go there and make disciples of all nations. Help, Jesus says, help the widow. And some of us sometimes, I know I've been there, we get so hung up on the deep theological issues of the day, that's where we spend a lot of our time focusing on. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do at all. But sometimes, at least in my life, isn't it the cost of doing something else? Rich Mullins really got me thinking about this, a singer, songwriter, philosopher. He says, sometimes in Christendom, we spend too much time trying to untie the more complicated knot. I got a couple of knots. And what do I mean by that? What is he referring to is that sometimes well-intentioned, good-natured Christians kind of get things out of balance with respect to the things that we're spending on in Christianity, debating deep theological issues at the cost of other things. For instance, a big issue from time to time, and I've seen this actually split a church, is the issue of, is it the universe billions of years old, or is it actually just thousands of years old? I mean, what does Scripture say about that? In the light of eternity, it's whether you're not going to be going to heaven or not where you stand on that issue. But people get so distracted about it. A friend of mine's church in Southern California split over that topic. Other ones, is it God's will or is it man's will? We can spend a lot of time trying to figure all that out. I think some good things can come out of that discussion. But at the cost of what sometimes? At the cost of what? Even with the issue of healing, you know, we talked a little bit about healing. Steve talked about or read from the book, Bill Johnson's book on healing. And that perspective is one that says, you know, quite possibly at the cross when Jesus died, it covered not only our spiritual healing, but also all physical healing. So is that the answer? I don't know. And is this someone on your elder board and representing the board as I'm speaking right now? We're not entirely sure where we stand on that. That's a deep, big theological issue that we're wading into very prayerfully and really trying to ascertain what God would say to us about that. The thing I love about adventure, I've never seen any other church like this. There is so much diversity of viewpoints in a body of people, and it's awesome. It's great. But sometimes I think we get hung up trying to untie the complicated knot, when sometimes we miss the proverbial forest for the trees about untying the simple knot. I'll give you an example. This happened less than 2 weeks ago. I was out on my deck. I was standing on my deck getting ready to paint it. Had some music going and just, you know, having a grand old time out there doing that. And I was in my heart just thanking God for a couple of things he'd been doing in my life lately. Just, God, thank you for, you know, this and that, just some things have been going on. I really appreciate that. And then I found myself asking God this question: God, what would you have for me now? I just blurted it out in my heart, blurted it out, right? I was by myself. And I kid you not, no sooner than I had spoken those words, and above the din of the music, I heard like some shouting, some yelling. Like, you know, we live out in the country. My nearest neighbor is about 200 or 300 feet away from us. We're separated by this big, huge, ugly blackberries. Blackberry bushes are from hell, by the way. There you go. I'm just saying. Not blackberries themselves, though. Anyway, and I look, and it's my neighbor, and he's signaling just, you know, he's like this. He's waving, and I notice he's got something in his hand. He's waving me over, and he's yelling, and I said to myself, as I'm put down my sander, heading over, walking down my yard, he's about, from here to about across the street, what's his name? Gosh, I think he's lived there like 4 or 5 months. I'm saying that to myself. I'm just being honest with you. As I'm walking down there, what do I know about him? So I get down there, and he says to me, "Hey, what's your name?" I said, "My name is Jeff." I go, "What's yours?" "It's John, but my friends call me Cujo, because his last name's Polish, and it's very long. It starts with K-U-J something." He goes, "Just call me Cujo." And he begins to tell me a little bit of his life. And I go, "Just tell me about yourself." He goes, "First of all, I got a question to ask you." And he's got this thing in his hand. He goes, "Do you like smoked salmon?" And I said, "Is the Pope Catholic?" "Of course I like smoked salmon." He goes, "So here you go." So over the blackberry bushes, I can barely see him right through the vines. He throws it over, and I'm like doing my Ken Griffey Jr. You're trying to catch this thing, and I catch it, and it's smoked salmon in a sealed container. He says, I'm not joking, he says to me this, "Yeah, I'm a single dad, recently divorced, kids his ages 11 and 9, but we're just trying to figure out the life thing." I didn't even know his name. Sometimes I can get caught up on the deep theological issues of the day, worrying about the big, complicated knots, when the really simple knot is, if I've ministered to my neighbor lately. And for me, as I'm looking at bringing the kingdom of God, maybe it's about my home, maybe it's about your home, being a place as a spiritual hospital for the neighborhood. I would like that for me. And what's really easy for me is to get into a debate about this, that, or the other thing. Well-meaning, well-intentioned, but sometimes I turn it into a debate. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. Some of us do. It becomes about the debate. And that's pretty easy, especially with social media, right? And that's pretty easy to do. But in that moment, talking with Cujo, I took everything in me. It took God doing everything within me to take a huge risk in that moment, which is way more difficult, but the simpler knot to get the following words out of my mouth. "Would this summer, Cujo, would you and your family like to come over and have a barbecue?" Is that a simple knot? Absolutely. Easy to untie. How much time, friends, do we spend worrying about the more complicated things than about the more simple things, like a hurt and hurting world right around us? That's my neighborhood picture. As we move forward, I'm not saying we're at a place where we're necessarily getting hung up on all these things, but as more and more we're talking about some of the deep theological issues and where we stand, how much energy and time do we want to spend on those when we have people around us who have not either heard the good news, maybe just need a meal, maybe need a hug, or just could use to be around some Christians around a barbecue, and he's going to bring salmon. And I can't wait. So we need to be together on this and not let these things, not let the enemy try and throw a monkey wrench into our congregation and try and divide anybody over anything. I'm not saying we're there at all, but it is a boil we need to be looking at for down the river, right? It is a boil and an eddy down the river we need to be set up appropriately for. I love these verses as we conclude. "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." Sometimes we miss the forest for the trees spiritually when we got a hurt and hurting and lost world all around us. And I found that out, you know, all too much. It can be about the debate. Kind of a sidebar note, and some other reading and research I've been doing, I kind of caught up. Each year in this country, and it's been a trend for a number of years, it's not just a one-year thing. Each year, 1,500 pastors quit the ministry. Every year, more than 1,500 pastors quit the ministry. So that's about, I'm not a math major, almost 5 a day. So by the time each of us put our head on a pillow tonight, 5 pastors will have walked away from their congregations. The top 2 reasons, finances and divisive issues within the church. Those are the top 2 reasons. I'm not saying any of our pastors are there, but it's a boil and an eddy down the road we need to keep our eyes on so we don't get there. The final way to navigate, I think, is with the rappers, to celebrate and be bold. Celebrate and be bold. On Friday, we had just an amazing, awesome time. The worship service, I mean, how many were there? Yes. Wasn't that just fantastic? You know, I was at home, I'm thinking, you know, do I go? I wasn't feeling well. I was kind of feeling kind of sluggish. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go. And oh my gosh, that's so what I needed. Worship God, thank God. The worship team, Nick and the gang, killed it. It was awesome. Great way God was present. So that's a great way to celebrate God's blessing as we do those from time to time. I don't know when our next one is, but oh, it was just fantastic. And the other thing I want to mention, one of the most exciting things, as I mentioned earlier, I think now is the most exciting time to be part of Adventure Community Church is the one voice. What we're doing with all the other churches, you guys familiar with that? On the 6th, it's Stillwater in the gymnasium. Oh my goodness, talk about taking ground for God. I just think it's just going to be an exciting time. As far as I know, this never happened in this community. Different churches coming together, not under the banner of a church, but under the banner of God collectively. I don't know if it's happened in the state of Washington, to be honest. It's happened in other places, but it's incredibly exciting. And I don't know if he's in the room still. There he is in the back. I said this before, Randy, I'll say it again. I have never been so proud of my pastor than what you are doing and taking the lead and helping make all this happen. So thank you very much. An exciting time, a great opportunity. You know, we need to be praying for Randy and Debbie and our pastoral staff more often. I think that's an uncomplicated knot to untie, praying for our pastor, praying for our leadership. I need to be doing that more often. Well, in conclusion, one last thing as part of our final culminating project, heading down the river down in Oregon, we did a class 3 and class 4 rapids, which are pretty significant. Dr. Jim had us do them in canoes, which can be really interesting and kind of a little crazy. But based on our training, he thought we were ready to do that. And so it was the biggest white water we experienced in going in on canoes. It was just 2 people per canoe. And the white water like billowing up like walls around us. And he said something very counterintuitive that I thought was very fascinating, and it proved to be the way that we could get through that challenging time. He said, when you're experiencing the most challenging part of the white water, here's what I want you to do, he told me and my partner Jackie. He said, what I want you to do when you're experiencing that, I want you to get your rear end off the seat of the canoe and kneel in the bottom of the canoe, because that'll give you more lower center of gravity. And he says, when you do that, I want you to take your paddle, put it across your lap, and remain calm. Okay. And I just thought that as we may experience challenges down the road or challenges we're experiencing now, I thought, Jeff, I need to get myself off my butt more often and on my knees before God and be calm and wait on the Lord and have him tell us what we are to do. I love this verse, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, God, just for continuing to pursue us, for pursuing me. God, for pursuing this community, to capture this community, Lord. Your heart is way bigger than we could ever understand, and so is your love. God, I thank you for Pastor Randy and Debbie and being the tip of the spear in this collective effort as we move forward, God, through you. God, you own it all. Do whatever you'd like to see him done. God, we just love you and thank you for this time. God, thank you for just an amazing congregation of people who are dedicated to the cause of Christ. I thank you for what you're doing through Adventure, what you're continuing to do, God, and give us your eyes to navigate the challenges that may lie before us or the things that we're experiencing now, God, and how we can best move through those as we rely on our training, on who we are, and navigate the challenges ahead. We love you, God, and thank you so much for what you're doing and for your love and for giving your son to die on the cross so we can have a relationship with you and experience you in eternity. In your son's name we pray. Amen.